I am announcing today that the United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal. In a few moments, I will sign a presidential memorandum to begin reinstating U.S. nuclear sanctions on the Iranian regime.
Donald Trump has delivered on one of his signature campaign promises. Today, he announced he is officially pulling the United States out of the Iran nuclear deal. Aaron David Miller is vice president of the Wilson Center and former Middle East negotiator for the State Department. We spoke with him just before the president officially announced the decision.
I think it's a highly flawed agreement, but it is viable. And it has placed significant constraints and restraints on Iran's capacity to develop enough fissile material to make a nuclear weapon.
And let's also just briefly talk about what the original intent of this deal was.
Well, the intent during the Obama administration, in my view, was to preempt the growing possibility of an Israeli strike in response to an Iranian nuclear program that had the capacity to move very quickly to breakout, that is to say, to create enough fissile material to make a nuclear weapon, and at the same time to make an American strike unnecessary. I don't think anybody looked at this as a transformational agreement. It was essentially transactional, Tanzina. It was an arms control agreement designed to restrain and constrain for varying amounts of time Iran's capacity, either through plutonium extraction or uranium enrichment of uranium, to produce a weapon. And according to the IAEA, the International Agency for Atomic Energy, it was actually working. And I think that therein lies the real problem, because without a plan B, it seems to me we're heading into an extremely uncertain situation, which has any number of consequences. In my judgment, none of them are going to be terribly beneficial for the United States.
And what about, we're potentially looking at serious implications in the region. What about Iranian citizens, people who are on the ground who will be directly impacted by sanctions, et cetera?
Well, there I think you're already seeing, as a consequence of a great deal of uncertainty with respect to investment in the Iranian economy, even though there's been a certain amount of economic improvement, you've got an economy that has so many structural and systemic flaws, in which various groups, the regime supporters, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, has found a way to evade sanctions and are making millions of dollars off of all sorts of illicit arrangements and legitimate arrangements with all kinds of business transactions. That's only going to get worse as the real plummets, as inflation rises, unemployment's going to increase. And you saw in December something you've never seen before, a fairly large and widespread series of protests among lower middle class Iranians who are fed up with the notion that the regime is enriching itself and paying for foreign adventures instead of investing in their well-being and in their future. I think that it may well be one of the calculations of the administration that tightening the screws economically will lead to cracks within the regime and over time, perhaps, even though I'm not sure this is realistic, uprisings within the country. I think that is the new calculation that this administration is going to make. And withdrawing from the JCPOA is the first step in that new strategy.
Well, let's talk about another calculation, and that this administration has said repeatedly that it basically, you know, essentially wants to undo many of the policies that the previous administration had implemented. Is that behind this? Is this purely a move to sort of, you know, undo the President Obama legacy or the Obama administration legacy? Or is there actual indications that Iran perhaps was not living up to its end of the deal and therefore need to have sanctions implemented?
You know, I work for Republicans and Democrats. I voted for Republicans and Democrats. And most of the administrations I worked for, of course, domestic politics is an important calculation. But never have I seen a preternatural commitment by any administration to preserving its domestic base. And in the case of this particular president, emerging to make it unmistakably clear that he is the un-Obama. Yes, I think that the first effort to undo the Affordable Care Act, which was his predecessor's signal domestic achievement, did not succeed, or perhaps it succeeded in part. Now, this is an effort to undo his signal foreign policy accomplishment, the nuclear deal with Iran. And yes, I think it is driven not primarily by foreign policy considerations. And if you look again, I'll say it again, this is not a partisan comment, voted for R's and D's and worked for them too. But if you look at the pattern of the president's policies, whether it's withdrawal from Paris Climate, whether it's withdrawal from the TPP, whether it's the imposition of travel bans, frankly, that in my judgment are not necessary to preserve the security of the United States and compromise our value in the process, and even the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, all of these are not driven by foreign policy considerations. They are driven by a politically colored America First strategy, as the president defines it. In short, the president seems to have become adept at developing solutions for problems that our quite extraordinary republic doesn't have. And here I think you're going to see another example of that. The JCPOA is flawed. There's no question about it. How it's going to be resolved in the out years when it expires, these provisions expire, is a weakness of the agreement. But it is working. And it is, you can't beat something with nothing. And frankly, walking from this agreement is going to leave us with nothing.
Now, you've painted a pretty stark picture of what could be the future in the region. What about for the United States? I mean, if this escalates, if this really creates an escalation of tensions in the region, is this potentially something that could take us into another conflict that will have American boots on the ground?
I don't think you're talking about significant deployment of American forces. What you're talking about in terms of conflict, if it comes to that, and it's still a big if, is an asymmetrical sort of confrontation in which the Iranians, through their agents and their proxies, try to inflict the maximum damage they can on American forces in Iraq, which they are clearly capable of doing. They did it during the Bush administration while we were there. They are capable of making our lives and our allies' lives miserable, certainly in Syria. You could see an increase in terrorism outside of the Middle East. But if the Iranians go that route, I think you really are talking then about a U.S. response largely through missiles and aircraft, which could lead to U.S. strikes on the Iranian mainland. And if that is what you're talking about, you're talking about disruption of oil supplies. You're talking about a degree of economic dislocation, which is going to affect how many months of recovery with respect to the economy. So it's worst case. Nobody ever lost money betting against worst case in the Middle East. And I suspect the problems are going to get worse before it gets worse with the Iranians. Whether it comes to this sort of catastrophic scenario I'm painting is another matter. I wouldn't want to predict it. But we've embarked now on a very slippery slope.
Aaron David Miller is a vice president of the Wilson Center and former Middle East negotiator for the State Department. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.